You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Happy Friday, everybody. The keys to victory for week six on today's show. We'll also hear from the coaches, the quarterback, and the captains as they get ready for Sunday's game. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I'm your host, Brian Peacock. Thanks, everybody, for coming back, and welcome to the new listeners out there. You can find me on Twitter, at BDPeacock. Hit me up. We'll have some more conversations involving your questions next Tuesday after this weekend's game in Week 6 against the Los Angeles Rams. Let's start with the injury report. Who's actually going to be on the field for the 49ers? Getting a little bit healthier, which is a great sign. Jimmy Garoppolo practiced all week. He will start Sunday. Let's all hope that that goes much different than his start in week five and that he is much healthier. We'll hear about his high ankle sprain from the quarterback a little bit later. Out this week are linebacker Quan Alexander, who's got an ankle going on. I believe that's a high ankle sprain as well. And cornerback Dante Johnson, groin injury, didn't practice all week. He is ruled out for Sunday. Questionable, Emmanuel Mosley at cornerback, Marcel Harris, the safety, and running back Jeff Wilson. It's looking like Emmanuel Mosley, though, will play, and he was a full participant with the concussion that he's coming off of. Missed a couple games there, two-plus weeks now with that concussion, and if he's practicing in full, that makes me think he's going to start, and most likely next to Jason Verrett Sunday, which is a massive boost for that defense after we saw the debacle of Week 5 against the Miami Dolphins with what they were doing at corner. DJ Jones, an eye injury that I didn't really know much about. He practiced all week in full, so I don't even know why he's on the injury report. He's definitely playing as well. And that's it. The injury report getting shorter for the 49ers. And a setback, though, we did hear about from Kyle Shanahan this week. Ronald Blair, defensive end, hoping to get him back and practicing after week six. When players are eligible to come off the PUP list, he will not come off the PUP list at that time. It's going to be an extra few weeks. He had a setback with the surgery and something got botched and went wrong, apparently. So luckily it's not a season ender, but it's going to be a little bit more of a lengthy recovery for him. So I don't know who we're going to get back actually after the PUP week six. And we'll see if the 49ers do get some reinforcements there, but it's not always that easy when you plan somebody to come back at a certain time, maybe they don't always come back at that time. And we'll see if it's another week or two with cornerback Richard Sherman as well. I actually want to start, though, with the defensive side of the ball and defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, who spoke with the media this week. And man, after the way the game started last week against the Dolphins, I don't think it can be overstated how important it is to get Emmanuel Mosley back and have two solid starting cornerbacks for the 49ers. It's been a huge bonus having Jason Verrett healthy this year for the team. Saleh talked about Emmanuel Mosley, what makes him so good, and how the heck did someone that talented fall through the cracks with how many cover guys teams need in the league, and how that is such a high impact position in the NFL. How does a guy like that fall through the cracks and go undrafted?
When you're talking about Mose, it's so subtle because I mean, the guy, first and foremost, he's got such a great mindset with regards to being fearless. He does not care who he's going against. He does not care the situation. There's no situation too big for him. He's got such a great mental toughness to him and a great mindset to him. He plays with unbelievable technique and strength at the line of scrimmage. He does not panic at the catch point. He doesn't panic at the top of the routes. So all of it, you know, from a mindset standpoint and just a personality standpoint, he's got no panic, no fear, and great technique. And then on top of it, you get into the mental aspect with regards to understanding route combinations and understanding plays. And you got yourself one heck of a corner. Sometimes kids slip, you know, in the draft process, but it doesn't mean that they're not good enough. It just means that they got a different opportunity than people who are drafted. And so that's what makes those undrafted guys who make it special, because they've got that mindset. And when you talk about Mosley and his mindset, I mean, shoot, after practice, he came right up to me after a period, and he was like, Saleh, what was that route? I hadn't seen it before. And I was like, the card, they messed up the card. So, and he was able to recognize, like, I hadn't seen that rod on tape, but the card got messed up. And so I was like, good job, man. I see you. So it's, so for him, he's awesome.
We should add some practice reports and see how maybe they're utilizing some of those defensive backs to cover the injuries right now. I don't know if they didn't want to put too much on his plate, if they've moved him around inside or outside, because I would imagine he's the best nickel player as well currently on the 49ers roster without Kaywan Williams. So is it better to have just Mosley stay outside and Jamar Taylor at the nickel, or are they going to change some things around and have more Jimmy Ward at the nickel and have Tarvarius Moore to safety? Or maybe you bring in Akella Witherspoon outside, have Emmanuel Mosley play some nickel. So we'll see. There's probably some looks the 49ers could change up there on defense to really cover the back end with to get the best 11 players on the field. They didn't do that last week. They've got to do it this week. Despite everything and all the injuries, Robert Saleh still has a lot of faith in his unit and the talent that he's coaching on the defensive side of the ball. And 4 out of 5 weeks, the Niners defense had played pretty well considering and kept the team in the game, and they've been asked to do a lot with how bad the offense has played at times this season. And Saleh still thinks they have a top five, top 10 defense in the league.
You're always trying to get better every single day. Every once in a while, even the greatest ones get punched in the mouth. And I still believe that there's a top 10 defensive unit, top five if we're on our stuff, and it doesn't change on who's on the football field. We're a fantastic group. It's got a fantastic mindset, and one game doesn't define what I think is an unbelievable defensive unit. So for those guys to understand and recognize what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish in this league is not defined by one game. Is you just talk to each individual by themselves and they'll tell you the exact same thing. They're not shook at all. They're ready to get back on the football field and continue to prove how good they are. So
I think that last part's really important about how they're not shook at all. And I saw that. They were flying around. I couldn't believe they were thumping people, still playing super hard, down 3 snaps last week against the Miami Dolphins. And again, it's not been... You see the scoreboard, and you saw the wins and losses, the Philadelphia game the same way. You can't put it all on the defense. The offense has to help them out, and you hear them talk a lot about complimentary football. Need some better drives, longer drives, putting the ball in the end zone, putting up some points on offense, keep the defense off the field a little bit and not turn the ball over and give that defense, you know, more work and keep them on the field so much and short fields. Like, you just can't do that. So I think this team's built around playing that pretty traditional style of even if it doesn't look super traditional in the way that the offense is put out there and all the motion and the way the offense is coordinated, it's still very old school in the way that they want to run first and set up the pass and control the ball, control the clock. And I don't think they're a top 5 defense right now, but they can certainly maintain a top 10 defense the rest of the year, especially as they get healthy, even without Bosa and without Ford. And we'll see what's going on with Ford's injury long term. Last one from Saleh here, and this is sort of a question about how they develop talent and how they look forward. And they've had to bring up a lot of practice squad players this year. And if they're always evaluating the roster, not only currently, but if these players could be long-term pieces in following years, even if they don't get called up from the practice squad now.
One of the greatest things that I think this organization does is we develop football players better than anyone in football. And I believe that all the way from our training staff to our strength crew to management to coaching, all the way down. And so we spend so much time watching their scout team reps, so much time after practice trying to make sure they're getting reps that they may have not have gotten because the ones aren't getting the reps. There's a lot of extra time put into continuing the development of those guys. So to answer your question, that coaching, that investment with that coaching and investment goes in an evaluation on whether or not they're capable of taking that next step. Because we're constantly engaging ourselves with them and just not, you're on the practice squad, go do whatever you do for the scout team. It's, we take those reps, we have individual meetings with those guys, and we're continuing to try to get those guys better every single day, because the reality is, just like last week, you never know when that guy might get called up because of injury. And so, we're constantly trying to stay engaged with those guys to get them better every day.
Okay. Up next, George Kittle speaks to the media and I think says some pretty important things about leadership right now in the 49ers locker room, and it might be a bigger factor than we all realize coming into the year. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo as well. And of course, the keys to victory for the 49ers to beat the Rams Sunday. Is anybody out there hitting a wall whether this is Friday afternoon, you're listening to this podcast, or on the weekend. I definitely was hitting a wall today before recording this podcast. I broke through that wall with Built Go. And look, man, it's podcasting might not seem like a difficult job, but man, after doing 10 shows per week, I was like, man, okay, I got to get up for this last pod of the week. I got to talk keys to victory for my people about the 49ers. Built Go helped me get there, whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take, 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase. You can put it in your backpack. You can put it in your glove box. You can put it in your golf bag. That's another place that I love to have a Built Go, is on the golf course, power you through the back nine. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like an energy drink without the same crash feeling, because it's natural and it's better for your body. Three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, fast absorbing, gets into your system quickly, and it's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your energy: beta alanine, B vitamins, honey, and a little kick of caffeine. Go to builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. You know what's really important for the 49ers is they have a lot of guys that care, and George Kittle is one of those. He's such a special player for the 49ers, not only what he does on the field, but what he does off the field, the energy he brings. And you can tell he cares when he talks about leadership in the locker room and what the team needs right now. And he's seeking out Joe Staley to find out how he could better be a captain and be a leader on the football team.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm still learning how to be a captain. You know, when you're blessed would have a guy like Joe Staley and Richard Sherman kind of at the mantle for the last couple of years. You know, guys that have seen the ups and downs of an NFL season, they've been on every kind of team, you know, winners and, you know, losers. They can kind of see how locker rooms work and, you know, communication with coaches and just relationships. And so Staley is a guy that I lean on heavily still, and I'm trying to learn from Staley. I ask him questions about things that are going on. He's been incredibly helpful. But yeah, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, I'm one of the four offensive captains now, and, you know, technically one of the vets, that I definitely do need to be a little bit more direct when it comes to guys and holding guys accountable. And luckily, at the end of the day, you know, we do have a very accountable team. You know, like I've said, we don't have guys that are trying to jump off the ship, guys that are pointing fingers. You know, we had guys come in today, and I thought we had our best practice of the year today. And, you know, guys were locked in. Our offense was humming. O-line looked good. We had a great run period. So the thing I love about our team is that we're hungry and we just want to play better. And we know that we're not playing at our best. You know, we don't want to be 2-3. And we know that we're not, you know, playing at the level that we want to be playing at. So I think that this week has been really good for us. And, you know, watching the film and trying to get better from it, I think we've definitely taken a step forward. My rookie year, I was terrified of Joe Staley. I think I've said that a couple times. Like, he would come in and he'd be kind of a prick sometimes. And, you know, I wouldn't really understand that. And then there are times you'd see him, he'd be like the happiest guy ever. And you're like, well, I mean, like, what's wrong with him? But really, when you think about it, it's the way he holds guys accountable, no matter who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the QB. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, DeForest Buckner. It doesn't matter if you're Eric Armstead. It doesn't matter if you're George Kittle. Joe would hold you accountable, and he'd make sure you heard his point and what he thought was required of you on a daily basis. And so that's one thing Joe, you know, told me. And you know, I talked to him after last game, and he was just like, look, like, you have to hold people accountable, and you have to tell them that you have to hold them to the highest standard, because that's what we've done for the last 3 years, is hold guys to an incredibly high standard. And, you know, I'm not saying we're lacking in that at all. I'm just saying we're trying to find our footing as a team. And I, you know, as captains too, like I said, when you lose Joe Staley and, you know, Sherm hasn't been here really, when you lose two guys that you look up to, it is hard. And like I said, I have to be a better captain. I'm still learning how to do that. And I think I'm getting better at that every single day. You know, Fred Warner's getting better at it every single day. All our guys are. And so it's a daily process, and I think we're going to improve.
The other takeaway from that is that, man, maybe it was a bigger impact losing Joe Staley's, just his pure leadership, and DeForest Buckner. Those were the leaders of both offense and defensive units for the 49ers. They lost them both in the same offseason. And I think when you're looking at just talent and replacing that talent with Trent Williams and Javon Kinlaw, you're thinking, okay, well, the 49ers need to be in good shape. But maybe they lost something that was much, much more than that cumulatively with the talent on the field and the players and people they were off the field in that leadership. So can the 49ers recapture some of that, or is it something that's going to be a little bit slower to develop maybe into future seasons, or is it all going to come together suddenly this week, or is it just something that we're thinking about now, or something that's weighing on someone like George Kittle, who is now currently a captain because they're not winning, and then once they start winning, you stop thinking about, you know, leadership and things like that because things are rolling in the right direction. I don't know. We'll see how things continue from this point forward, but I do think it was maybe an underrated aspect of the 49ers offseason, just losing those two huge leaders and pillars in the 49ers locker room. And the part about them having the best practice of the year so far this week, I think, is pretty important. And getting all those players together on the field, I mean, how could they have been playing as a cohesive unit when they really haven't had an extended period of practice? And I think this is the first three in a row, right, where they've had Mostert and Jimmy G and Kittle and Debo and Ayuk all practicing together at the same time since the beginning of training camp. So I think they have to get better from here, right? And maybe that's why George Kittle seems like he's so confident that the team can turn this thing around after a 2-3 start.
I think the biggest thing that I've seen is just like the guys we have in the locker room, you know, and our coaching staff. I believe in our coaching staff. I think Coach Shanahan is incredible what he does. He game plans so well, and he puts guys in positions to succeed. And then in the locker room, you have a group of guys that want to get better every single day. You don't have guys that are jumping off the ship. You don't have guys that are pointing the finger at each other. And you also have guys that we do hold each other accountable. Like you have conversations like, hey, why do we suck? Or why did we suck on this play? And we talk about it. We figure it out. You know, you don't have guys saying, oh, that was your fault. That wasn't my fault. And so we're all heading in the right direction. We're going in the same direction. And I know we haven't played our best football the last 2 weeks. But we, like I said, we did take a huge step forward this week, I believe. And, you know, when you got young guys, a wide receiver, you know, we're relying heavily on Debo and Brandon. And they're just going to get better every single week they get to play football. And when I see those guys go out there and they make those plays and they have the confidence in themselves, it makes me excited. And they're a big reason why I think we can turn this thing around and win some football games.
George Kittle's so positive, and I think there's a lot of good dudes in the locker room. And Kyle Shanahan was asked the question, I believe it was Jennifer Lee Chan who asked the question, that was a great question, I love it. Do they need more a-holes on the team?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't want guys to learn how to be that word that you said. I want people to be themselves. If they feel like being that way and it's natural, go ahead and be that way. I think George is a hell of a captain, and does it a great way. Staley was a hell of a captain, does it a great way. So, I mean, I appreciate George trying to do everything he can to get better, but I just want George to be himself, and don't try to be Staley, be yourself.
Speaking of nice guys, Dante Whitner this week, former 49ers defensive back, called out corner Akella Witherspoon as being soft and not be willing to go through and play through an injury until it was too late. And Kyle Shanahan addressed that idea.
Every guy's situation is different. Every injury is different. And every person you deal with is different. I know I was expecting him to go that week, and I think he was too. But it didn't look that way at all in practice, the way he was moving. And when I talked to him, the way he described it, how tight it felt, that's what he said. So, I mean, I never question guys what they tell me when you ask them, and they speak what is in their heart. So that's what he told me, and that's what I can go off of. That's why we had to make the tough decision to pick between Allen and Webster, and we ended up having to do that Thursday night. So that was a situation we're in. What I was happy with on Saturday, that him knowing our situation, at least he told me that he could dress and be used in case of an emergency, which I thought would only be after two injuries. And after we were struggling, though, I was glad he felt good enough to where we didn't have to wait for that emergency. And he told us he was good to go there in the second quarter.
Yeah, put a polygraph on Kyle Shanahan. They might have been somewhat upset about how that all worked out with Akella Witherspoon. I don't know. We'll find out, and we'll probably see how they feel about Akello by what kind of playing time he gets the rest of the year when he is fully healthy. What the hell's going on with the offensive line? I think that's a big question on all 49ers fans' mind. The miscommunications up front, not playing good ball cohesively, not playing together or individually all that well. A big disappointment up front so far for the 49ers. Why is that?
Yeah, we had five sacks. I think three of them we had busts on protections. That guy's communicating at the line, playing faster, going through all the looks and not making a mistake. I mean, those guys switch up fronts and their numbers all the time. When they do that, it puts a lot of pressure on an offense, and you got to be on it. And when you end up throwing the ball a lot more than you anticipate and a lot more than you ever want to, those things are what come up. So I thought we ran the ball very well. But when you only have 19 carries to show for it, you're going to be in some of those situations. Always when I do get in those situations, I start to worry about turnovers. I worry about the pressure that you're putting on the O-line, the pressure you're putting on the quarterback. And doesn't mean that always happened, but that was a situation that we got into, and that is what happened. We started making some mistakes in protection, made a few mistakes with the ball. I think we had 6 drops also. You know, 2 of 10 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. Added with 6 drops, added with 5 sacks. I think we're throwing the ball too much. That's a situation that I got to try to control better, and hopefully we can play better as a team to where we make it easier for me to control that.
There's that complimentary football again, but if the offensive line's not playing well, you can't run the ball that well to set up the pass like you want to, so it still kind of comes down to the offensive line. They absolutely have to play better. Let's hear from Jimmy Garoppolo next, how that high ankle sprain is going and the keys to victory to beat the Rams in Week 6. So how's the knee, Jimmy G?
As far as the ankle, it's feeling great this week. It really is. Just made a lot of improvements. Just that a couple extra days, I think, consistently get better. So just one of those things, just got to keep working at it.
Of course it feels great.
Feels great, baby.
I don't know why we expected anything different, right? But how much better is the question? And I guess we won't find out until Sunday because he was pretty non-functional as a quarterback last week and they had to pull him out of the game halfway through. 1 week, did it make a big enough difference? I think the 49ers need that absolutely to be the case to win this weekend. And when he was asked what high ankle sprains are like, what he's learned about him, he said that he's learned that they suck and they're much different than just regular sprained ankles. Garoppolo talked about how they need to get better on first down, both run and pass, to keep drives going.
Being efficient on first down last year helped us with everything throughout the game. And I think that was one thing that really carried game to game. We were very consistent at it. And so putting ourselves in a lot of second and longs this year, we've overcome a couple of them, but that's in the NFL, when you put yourself in too many of those, you're just not going to make it and you don't have a chance. So I think, getting back to our roots, it's all about efficiency. Keep the ball moving forward. As long as we avoid the sacks, the negative runs, things like that, penalties, it'll put us in a good position.
Say it with me. Complimentary football. It's probably on page 1 of Kyle Shanahan's manifesto. And the 49ers have not been good at that this year. George Kittle brought up the practice, having everybody on the field together for essentially the first time for a full week.
It's tremendous. Just when you get guys out there and we're doing the same plays with the same people and you start to get a feel for one another, and it's just it takes time. I mean, it's one of those things that it's not going to happen overnight. We know that. And so it's just about putting in the time on the field, off the field, interacting with one another, and just getting on the same page as fast as we can.
They better get on the same page quickly because this season could get out of hand in short order if they're not careful. All right, we've got to get to the keys to victory for the 49ers in Week 6. But first, I want to play an excerpt from the Peacock and Williamson show. If you guys don't know, I host an NFL podcast every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network with former NFL scout Matt Williamson. And we cover the entire league. And on Thursdays, we have Chris Raybon from the Action Network, and he gives us his best bets for the week, and he likes the 49ers, and I wanted to play this excerpt maybe to help you guys feel a little bit better as we go into the weekend about the 49ers' chances to beat the Rams, and he likes the Niners Sunday.
I know the 49ers collapsed last week against the Dolphins. I know they don't exactly
Niners
know.
Had a bye last week, didn't they?
Huh?
I don't remember that.
Oh,
game.
Yeah,
I
thought, yeah, right. Yeah, because they didn't show up, But interestingly enough, they're still at home. So, rest favors them. I think the wrong team is favored here. You're talking about a situation where I actually bet this when it was at +4. My co-host bet it at 3.5. I think it's 2.5 was the line we officially took for the show. But you look at that number, and what that implies is, the home field is usually going to be worth 2.5. For the books, and what that implies is that the Rams are essentially 4 or 5 points better than San Francisco on a neutral field, and that's just not the case. Listen, the Rams have had a great start to the season. They really only beat the NFC East, right? They beat the Eagles, they beat the football team, they beat the Giants, and they beat the Cowboys. They literally beat the worst division in football. Upon doing it, they're taking all these road trips across the country. You know, they're in LA, then they're going, you know, to Washington. They're coming back to play the Giants, and then they're going, you know, to Philly and Buffalo and all these things. So LA is a lot of distance traveled. And yes, they're coming back to Cali now, but they're still on the road. Meanwhile, San Francisco, third straight home game for them. So yes, they've had some issues, but another situation where you can't overrate kind of the last game and the perception of a Miami team that I think is better than we think. I know you guys have both mentioned it, but Brian Flores, just such a good coach.
Yeah.
So let's not overrate that situation. San Francisco still has a loaded offense. They still can get their number three in pressure. What does Jared Goff struggle with? Oh, yeah, it's pressure. They're number one in defensive average after target allowed at 6.6. All the Rams like to do is throw it short so Goff can avoid pressure. This is a tough matchup, much tougher than I think maybe it looks on paper for the Rams.
So there you go, an excerpt from the Peacock and Williamson NFL show that you can find daily on all your favorite podcast apps. And I've been picking the Rams this week to beat the 49ers, but maybe you should listen to someone who's smarter than me and obviously brings a lot of knowledge and a lot of data to the table, like Chris Raybon of the Action Network. And that leads me to the keys to victory. The reason I don't have the 49ers beating the Rams this weekend is I still don't know exactly how well Jimmy Garoppolo can play on that bad ankle, because it was awful. He shouldn't even have been out there last week. Can 1 week make that much of a difference for Jimmy G and that ankle? And I usually count them up from 5 to 1, but I'm going to start with number one here, and it is Jimmy Garoppolo. That ankle has to be near 100%, and he has to be at least functional on it. And it doesn't help the 49ers to have a bad, broken Jimmy Garoppolo on the field, because it doesn't help him win the game, and it puts him at risk for further injury to not get him back later. Jimmy G has to be well for the 49ers to go anywhere this year and go on a run. He needs to be as good or better than the Jimmy G that led the 49ers to a one seed in 2019 if the Niners are going to be a playoff team again in 2020. Key to victory number two for the 49ers to beat the Rams, and it is the front seven for the Niners that I think is a clear win. If the 49ers are going to win somewhere, it is their front seven against the Rams' offensive line. Put Jared Goff in bad down and distance situations. Robert Saleh will likely dial up some more blitzes, as he's done without Bosa and Ford this year, and put that pressure on Jared Goff. And that's been, I mean, it's been the recipe to beat the Rams. It's really no different than it has been, right? Affect Jared Goff, you're going to be in good shape. The 49ers have to stop the run probably to do that, because we've talked about the complementary football the 49ers want to play. Well, it's much the same with the Rams offense and short throws, and they want to run the ball. And the 49ers are set up in a way that I think they can prevent the Rams from doing that for the most part, as long as they're not asked to be on the field all day. So how do the 49ers go about not allowing their defense to be on the field all day long against the Rams? And that starts up front on the other side of the ball with the offensive line. We heard about it earlier in the episode. It's the most important thing right now that's going on in the 49ers offense, aside from quarterback, is that offensive line consistency. You can't get your already hurt quarterback killed anymore. You're going against the strongest weapon that a team has on a defense in the NFL in Aaron Donald, that can wreck everything that's going on there. So the offensive line has to do a number on Aaron Donald, limit him as much as possible, and allow the run game to work on early downs so Donald doesn't just have an opportunity to go ballistic on Jimmy Garoppolo on third and long situations. So I'm sure the 49ers are going to try to get Aaron Donald going horizontally instead of vertically on early downs, tire him out, get him chasing running backs all day rather than chasing Jimmy Garoppolo all day. And it's going to start with the offensive line. They've got to create some holes and get some big plays going for Jimmy Garoppolo in that 49ers offense to both put points on the board and keep the defense off the field and keep Aaron Donald off of Jimmy G. I kind of just spelled out number four as well. I had number three being the offensive line consistency and number four being the running game. They go hand in hand. The 49ers run game has been Jekyll and Hyde this season, and David Lombardi of The Athletic had a perfect stat that illustrates this, talking about the inconsistency there, with the 49ers ranking dead last, number 32 in the NFL in stuff rate. So they're getting hit essentially behind the line of scrimmage, no gain more than any team in the league, but then number one in open field yards. We're seeing these huge runs from Raheem Mostert. So it's either all or nothing with the 49ers run game. Consistency there. Offensive line consistency, run game consistency, moving the sticks. So important for the 49ers all season, every game, and this game included. And the last one, number five, key to victory for the 49ers to beat the Rams, and we've heard about some of this today, is mindset. The 2020 49ers are missing something, and that's been clear this year, and it's been sort of hard to put your finger on exactly what that is. Hearing George Kittle talk about leadership and what a captain brings makes me feel like the players feel it too. Something is definitely missing. And you can't let this season get away from you. So Kyle Shanahan, he's really started to sound worn down himself, but I don't know if I've really heard that yet from the players. But Kyle Shanahan did seem a little bit down and felt a little bit different this week. And so they've got to make sure that it doesn't sort of snowball in that direction. Even down three scores versus the Dolphins, like George Kittle, that WWF wrestling move that he put on the defender because he thought he was going to intercept the ball, or I don't know if he just was taking out some frustration. He killed that guy, and the defense was thumping people. They're playing fast still, even down in that game, which is a great sign. So I think that bodes well. They need to keep things on track because there is still plenty of time getting healthier. They can make a run in 2020, so they've got to keep their heads in the game. Mindset is going to be key for this team. All right, thanks everybody for listening. 49ers-Rams, Sunday night football. Niners need to show something on prime time to get back to 500, and we'll have it all broken down for you right here Monday. Locked on 49ers.